beaten.
One of the gentlemen decided that he didn't like the way I was speaking to him. That's when he decided to assault me.
Robbed.
One of them had my left arm and one of them reached his hand in my left pocket.
Now, a witness cover-up?
You knew that the police were trying to find out who those people were.
The police didn't ask me that.
They don't want to give out any information. You can't make them speak. So they basically say, I don't know anything.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Banquet hall owner Michael Pizzuto Jr. is suing former patron, 19-year-old Darren Little Jr., for his role in a robbery and assault during a party at his hall.
Order. All rise.
Now, it's case number 40 on the calendar, the matter of Pizzuto Jr. versus Little.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Gentlemen, have a seat.
Mr. Pizzuto and Mr. Little, let me see if I can put in a relatively short form what I understand happened. You own some sort of a nightclub that you rent out on occasion. You rented your club to the defendant on one occasion where he conducted a dance. I assume for profit you charged people to get in?
Yes, sir.
And you agreed to pay Mr. Pizzuto his rental fee, which was $500 for the night?
Yes.
And that all worked out fine?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
And then there came a time when you wanted to rent the hall again.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you agreed again on a $500 fee for the evening to rent the facility, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
That was on the night of?
Sunday, August 11, 2011.
And there was a signed contract?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see the contract. Okay, let me show this to you so that I'm sure that this is what you received.
Okay.
Some of that is just indications of what Mr. Pizzuto was missing from this briefcase. That's not something that you would have seen before, Mr. Little, but that's the contract that you signed with him.
Yes, this is exactly what it looks like.
Great. Okay, so this was what happened, Mr. Pizzuto. On the night of the event, that's the 11th of August, 2011, according to you, people who were in the hall went into your back kitchen, took your briefcase. These people also took $300 from your pocket?
Yes, ma'am.
And that was the $300 that Mr. Little had given you?
Yes, ma'am.
Earlier that day. And they fled?
Yes, ma'am.
Disposed of the briefcase, which was subsequently returned to you after it was found away from your property by some good Samaritan. But the items inside were missing, and you believe that Mr. Little is responsible for their actions.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Little says that he counted out the money that he received from the door.
Yes, ma'am.
And he had $1,500.
Yes.
And he says that at the end of the evening, $500 of that was missing. And that $500 just happened to be the exact same amount of money that you claimed that Mr. Little owed you for renting the hall. And he says where he put the money was a place that you were familiar with, and that he concludes from that that since none of the other money was missing, just the $500, the rest of the money was there, any thief would have taken all of it, but he thinks that you took his $500. So he's got a counterclaim.
Yes, ma'am.
At about what time in the evening, and describe the scene when you found these people in the back in a restricted area.
Basically, ma'am, at the end of the evening, it was 12:45 a.m. I walked out of the kitchen. I went over to the stage area where the DJ was playing. I told the DJ to cut the music. That took approximately 1 minute. In that meantime, I turned around. The hallway light was on, along with the kitchen light, and the kitchen door was open. I left the kitchen light off, and I left the door shut. So I ran back into the kitchen. I found Darren Little and his friends in the back in the kitchen.
You found this man?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
And after that, I asked him where the briefcase was.
Where was he standing?
He was standing, there's a center island in the kitchen. All the gentlemen were standing around the center island.
How many others were there?
There was Darren Little and four or five other gentlemen.
Had you seen those four or five other men before?
Two of them were the bouncers that he had working on Thursday night at their event.
At the earlier event
that they had? The previous party on Thursday night, yes,
ma'am. So you recognized them? They had been in your club before?
Yes, ma'am. I just recognized their faces. I don't know their names.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I pressured them where the briefcase was.
Did anybody say anything?
No, they just stood there. No one was being cooperative or...
I just asked you if anybody said anything. The answer is no.
No, ma'am.
Go ahead.
I noticed that the screen was out where the kitchen window was. I looked out the kitchen window. I noticed there was a gentleman down on the first floor. The kitchen is up on the second floor. I ran outside to where the gentleman was. I looked to see where the briefcase was. I could not locate the briefcase. Then I ran back inside
and
to the...
You couldn't locate the briefcase or the other person?
No, the person, he was still there.
He was still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you ask him what he was doing there?
I asked him where the briefcase was.
That's what did he say?
Basically, I don't know anything what you're talking about. Okay, the car that he had was a little Honda. That car was in the parking lot right where he was standing. There was no other vehicles in the parking lot. I looked into the car briefly. I did not see the briefcase. I ran back into the club. I went to the bar area because that's where all the gentlemen were. Started asking questions, where's the briefcase? That was my number one concern. One of the gentlemen decided that he didn't like the way I was speaking to him. That's when he decided to assault me.
Is that when the $300 was taken?
Yes, ma'am. After I went behind the bar, they jumped me behind the bar. Two of the bouncers from Thursday night were the ones who jumped me. Basically, there was a pipe behind the bar. I grabbed the pipe and I chased the gentleman out of the hall.
I didn't hear anything about the $300.
The $300 was stolen when they were assaulting me.
How did that happen?
Because there's four gentlemen that are stomping on me. And in the meantime, one of them had my left arm and one of them reached his hand in my left pocket.
Now, at what point, Mr. Puzo, did Mr. Little discuss with you how much he had taken in at the door that night? Before or after this altercation?
After everyone's left.
After you were assaulted?
Yes.
So Mr. Little remained?
Yes, ma'am.
And you had what appears to be a civilized conversation with him?
Yes.
Tell me about that conversation.
Basically, I needed to ask Darren the names of the guys who jumped me. He knows who they are because they were his security for the party before. He was not willing to give me any information, and I never got any names.
Just a minute. I'm getting to his missing $500. He said he took out money, and it was $1,500.
Okay, ma'am, there was never any $1,500. He's just estimating from the party before.
Did you see any money there that evening?
No, ma'am.
And did you tell Mr. Little where he could put it until the whole event was over?
He can put it anywhere he wants in the kitchen. He was the only one he knew.
He asked you where he could store the money?
Yes, ma'am.
What did he say to you?
Where should I put the money? I said, put it anywhere you want. Put it in the garbage can. I don't care.
Right. So that's what you told him.
Yes, ma'am.
You said, put it in the garbage can.
Yes, ma'am. It was a box. It was a lock box.
Was it locked?
No.
And that's where he put his receipts for the evening?
Ma'am, I have no idea what was in that box.
Well, you did have an idea what was in the box because he told you. What did you think he was putting in there? Cocaine? Heroin?
No.
You knew he was putting money in there.
Okay.
Not okay. The answer is either yes or no.
Yes, ma'am.
So you knew he was putting money in there. Then they were the receipts from the evening. So far, is there anything really off with what he told you?
Yes, there's actually a lot of things.
Oh, okay. Tell me then what you were doing in the kitchen with your friends.
Actually, around 12 a.m., I went in the kitchen, and he actually came with me. He saw me going in the kitchen with the box of money.
We're not talking about your money now. We're talking about his briefcase. When he came in and he couldn't find his briefcase, what were you doing there with your friends?
We were counting the money that we made that night.
And tell me what happened when he came in.
He came in, and then he was looking around for his briefcase, and he couldn't find it.
At that time, what were you doing in the kitchen with your friends?
Counting the money.
So you were counting the money with your friends, and he came in and said, where's my briefcase?
I was counting the money alone, and then my friends had came in.
What happened to his briefcase?
I have no clue.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Well, I assume that he didn't know the bouncer's name.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that you have a bouncer that comes to two of your parties and you don't even know his first name. What do you call him, hey?
You call him bouncer.
You call him bouncer. I don't believe it.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Banquet hall owner Michael Pizzuto Jr.
says former patron Darren Little Jr. is responsible for a robbery and assault during a party at his hall. Darren is countersuing, claiming it was Michael who robbed him.
Now, he was complaining to you that his briefcase
was missing. After the fact that I told him that my $500 was missing, that's when he started complaining.
Afterwards?
Yes.
And you don't know anything about...
Anything about the briefcase at all?
You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
You don't know anything about how the window, the screen got broken?
Not at all, Your Honor.
Did you see the broken screen?
I did see it.
You did? Who was downstairs on the first floor?
I don't know. I was in the club the whole time.
Who was in the room with you counting the money?
It was a person, KJ, that I threw the party with. And
great.
Two of his
friends. Want all their names.
I don't know the two others' names.
That's going to be unfortunate for your $500, Mr. Little. You know, he's just saying to you, sir, my property was missing. There were a bunch of people there that the police would want to question. You knew who they were, because you knew how to get in touch with at least two of them twice. Because if two of them were acting as security on your Thursday night party, and you were able to get in touch with them to come two nights later on Saturday night, you knew how to get in touch with them. You follow my thinking?
Yes.
And all Mr. Pizzuto was saying to you is, I want their names so that I can turn it over to the police so the police can question them. And I'm asking you why you didn't do it.
Because I didn't know their names.
I don't believe that.
They were...
I don't believe that, sir. Because if you knew how to get in touch with them...
I didn't get in touch with them. They showed up at the party and I knew them from around. And then he was security at local clubs. So he just asked if you can pay me a few dollars to do security.
Who was this?
My father.
Did you tell your son not to give the police the names of anybody? Or words of a kind, don't get involved?
No, well, actually what happened...
No. Stand up and save me. Not what actually happened. Did you suggest to your son that it wasn't a good idea for him to turn over anybody's name to the police?
No, I didn't.
Tell me what you said to him.
Well, I told Darren that, you know, we should call the police right now. And I also told him we should call the police, but he didn't want to call the police at that time. And I was
I'm
like...
I'm asking you about your son's not giving up the names of anybody who was in the kitchen with him counting money.
Well, I assumed that he didn't know the bouncer's names because when I was talking to the bouncer, I mean, he said, yeah, I know little Darren, he does great parties. I would like to work one. I want him to, you think you could get him to do one of my parties? So the bouncer, Darren didn't really know the bouncer like that. So I assumed that he didn't
know. I don't believe that. I don't believe that you have a bouncer that comes to two of your parties and you don't even know his first name. What do you call him, hey?
You call him bouncer.
You call him bouncer. I don't believe it.
I mean, it's whatever, man.
I don't believe that.
Don't matter.
I don't believe that. And I don't believe that they're coming in the back room to count money, and you don't even know their first name.
I told him his first name. It was Michael. I told him this.
I thought you told me you didn't know their names.
No, the one of the bouncers, he didn't come in the kitchen.
He says that two of the people he knew that were in the back in the kitchen, because they had been at the club the Thursday night before, they were bouncers.
They were KJ's friends, two of KJ's friends.
Who was that?
The person I threw the party with.
Did you tell the police that those two people were Casey's friends?
The police didn't ask me that.
Well, you did know the police were trying to find the identity of those two people, didn't you? And because you mean they didn't ask you whether your friend knew who they were, you didn't volunteer that information?
They talked to KJ, too, and I'm guessing that KJ would actually tell them the two names that was in the kitchen also, because they were his friends.
And you didn't think that you could volunteer that information?
How, when I don't know them?
He said they're my friends.
I told him that. I told him that. And he tried to get in touch with KJ, and I guess KJ wasn't giving him information.
Is that correct?
I tried to get in touch with KJ. He did the same thing as Darren here. They don't want to give out any information, so they basically say, I don't know anything. And that's it.
That's not true.
Basically how it went.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
What proof do you have, Mr. Little?
He was the only one that came in the kitchen.
Ma'am, I would have stole $1,500, not the $500.
No, okay, but you were missing money.
Actually, Mr. Pizzuto, you wouldn't have.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Banquet hall owner Michael Pizzuto Jr. is accusing former patron Darren Little Jr. of aiding a robbery and assault during a party at his hall.
Mr. Pizzuto, let me tell you this, sir. Mr. Little, I think, probably knows who these people are.
Yes, ma'am.
I can't force him to say who they are. And he is not responsible for the criminal acts of another person. I mean, that's the law. He would be responsible in the club if somebody spray painted on your walls, or somebody punched holes in the walls, or somebody poured liquor all over the place. That he signed a contract that he would be responsible for that. But he is not responsible for the criminal act of another person.
It he brought them back into the kitchen.
It is really no different. No, you don't know that, Mr. Pizzuto. You don't know that. If what you're claiming is he was a co-conspirator, you don't know that, because according to your statement to me, you were outside, you turned around, you saw a light on in the kitchen, you went back into the kitchen, and you saw Mr. Little there with others.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
You don't know if he brought them back or if he followed them back there. You don't know that. It would be no different if somebody in the club murdered somebody during the course of the evening and you sued Mr. Little because he was responsible for that act happening. It's a criminal act. He's not responsible for criminal acts that have nothing to do with the running of the party. I mean, acts of vandalism he would be responsible for because he contracted to do that. But what you're alleging is both a robbery and a burglary, and he's not responsible for that. And I don't think that you have sufficient evidence with regard to Mr. Little to say that he was an accomplice to any of this.
Ma'am, he was the only one who knew that the briefcase was behind the
dishwasher. I did not know the briefcase.
Just a second.
You didn't tell me where the briefcase was.
I don't know
what
anybody else knew, Mr. Pizzuto. What I'm telling you is, even the thrust of your complaint is that he knew who the perpetrators were and he wouldn't give them up. That's the thrust of your complaint. Not that he was a participant in this act. So, sadly, I can't help you. What I'm going to get back to is whether or not you're responsible for his $500 loss. What proof do you have, Mr. Little, other than circumstantial proof?
He was the only one that came in the kitchen with me.
That's what he says, sir, about you. You were the only one who knew where his briefcase was.
Ma'am, I would have stole $1,500, not the $500.
Okay, but you were missing money.
Actually, Mr. Pizzuto, you wouldn't have. Because if you took $500, that's what he owed you. Because I assume you never got paid your $500, is
no,
that
ma'am.
Right? So if you took $500 from the kitty that night, it was your $500. I could understand you feeling that way. Actually, I could. Now, did you ever pay him the $500?
No, only the $300.
You paid him three.
Owed him $200.
Did you pay him the two?
No.
Why not?
Because after that night, we just all went. We told him to call the cops and everything. He didn't want to call the cops, so.
I don't care. You used the club. What?
You heard what he said. He ran everybody out with the pole.
Darren and his father stayed there.
Just a second.
Just the kids that took off in the
house. Has nothing to do with paying him for the what he owes him.
But
he owes him $200.
The commotion got out of hand to where it was like a heated situation. He got beat up or whatever by kids. And
he did.
It was just a situation.
Why didn't you say to the police, my son owes
there was
him
no
$200?
He didn't want to call the police. We said call the police. He didn't want to call the police.
Ultimately, the police came to question your son.
The next day.
The next day, you say to the police, by the way, my son owes him $200. Here's the $200 my son owes him. I just can't figure out why you didn't pay him what you owed him.
Yeah, listen, I'm not talking
to you anymore. Now I'm talking to him.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Why didn't you pay him?
I mean, I will pay him. That's not a problem.
No. Mr. Little, you know how you said to me he was the only one who knew where the money was in the kitchen? And he says you were the only one who knew that my briefcase and all the items in it, where I put them behind something in the kitchen? You know how you each said that to each other?
Yes.
I'm not helping you get your $500. It's the same paucity of proof on both sides.
But if he saw me counting the money when he came in the kitchen, and I told him it was about $1,500, and he saw where I put it, if he's trying to make it seem like when I came back in the kitchen, I wasn't going to recount the money.
Who took his suitcase?
I don't know who took
his
suitcase.
Well, then I can't help you, sir. Your case is dismissed. Goodbye.
Thank you, Al.
Please, excuse you, may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy, it's a battle of the ages.
Do you young people think that all people over 50 are morons?
Next Judge Judy.
She looks like she's bored with me, and that ain't easy.
I feel like I deserve to get my $500 back.
Darren knows he stole the money, him and his friends.
Because he was acting really crazy, like he was just going off on everyone.
Because he was the only one that knew that the briefcase was back there.
Cussing them out and very, like, disturbing the peace.
And he brought his friends in the back in the kitchen.
So it wasn't their fault that other people reacted.
Should have never brought him in the back in the first place.
Because he got in other people's faces.
I've never had a problem in 5 years there. Darren's my first problem, and he would be my last problem.